Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Well, hello, everybody. I hope that this moment of your life finds you well. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. So happy to have you here today. Wow, today's interview was really impactful. So Kurt, Dr. Kurt, a pediatric dentist from Utah, had contacted me many months ago in the midst of the pandemic, asking for my guidance and help around long-haul COVID. He had heard my interview with Lika, which you may have heard on this podcast, where she had been in absolute agony and despair over her long-haul symptoms, and through her work with Journal Speak and with the rest of my theories, has become completely symptom-free. And I also should mention that because I follow Lika on Instagram, and she is a travel influencer, let's say. I don't know. I'm old. I don't know what to call people. But she's incredible. I'm looking at her. I'm watching her Instagram, and she literally travels all over the world, where when she had contacted me and told me her story, she had not been able to walk from her couch to her kitchen. She was not able to bathe herself. She was giving herself sponge baths instead of showering. That was the extent of her chest pain and her shortness of breath and this compression feeling around her ribs after having COVID and being in the midst of many months of long haul. And this work completely resolved her symptoms. So Kurt was listening to Lika, realizing after he had already had all this experience with Dr. Sarno's work and curing his back pain and his sciatica and then his migraines and then his plantar fasciitis and a prostate issue. All of those things turned out to be not indeed structural, but TMS related in the world of the mind-body system, in the world of nervous system deregulation, and all the things I teach. And he had resolved all of those things and had a huge mouth agape light bulb moment while listening to Lika. And now has done his own work and is free himself and is carrying that message to his pediatric dentistry practices. So it's an incredible interview. I'm really excited to share it with you. A couple quick announcements just to remember the things that are going on. I do receive many, many emails. Unfortunately, although I'm not in private practice, there are ways to connect with me personally. One of the most exciting and fun ways is to come to one of my live retreats. Right now, one has been announced for April at the Center for the Art of Living, the Art of Living Retreat Center in Boone, North Carolina. I will be there for the weekend of April 8th through the 10th. All the information's on my website. Come join me. If you want to hear about all of the mini retreats I did over this podcast hiatus, they are all recorded. They are all located on my website under retreat recordings. So just, check it out. These are ways to really, really get intimate with the work. And I will be announcing more virtual retreats soon if I haven't already. Always tune into my Instagram at Nicole Sachs LCSW. Another thing I want to share with you is if you haven't heard about the Curable app, I am a huge, huge fan of this app. It's getting better all the time. Curable, C-U-R-A-B-L-E. They are a sponsor of this podcast, and I am very picky about who I let sponsor this podcast because I will never promote something I don't believe in. And they are incredible. It is an app. They are helping hundreds of thousands of people around the world with this exact syndrome that I talk about all the time. It's an app that you have at your hand, at your fingertips. You have guided meditations. You have tons of lessons on the brain science. You have journal prompts. You have interviews with prominent people in the TMS community, myself among them. They have a podcast. They have a online community where people are supporting each other. So Curable is just great. And if you want to get 50% off your first year of Curable, you go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. You will then be able to take advantage of that amazing offer. And I just think you really should, because everything I do, of course, is just to carry the message, to try to help as best I can, but I cannot be with you every day. And Curable literally can. It can be with you every day. It's just the most awesome resource. And so I highly recommend it. And I hope that you take advantage of that. All right, guys, I am excited to share this interview. I know that you're going to get so much out of it. He's so wise. He is so understanding, has a deep understanding of this work. And no matter how far you've come down this path, it's always great to hear the things that resonate, because they form just a deeper neural connection in your mind and your brain and allow you to make that much more progress. So without further ado, I give you my interview with Kurt. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have an interview with Kurt. Welcome, Kurt.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's fun to finally meet you.
It's fun to meet you too. So Kurt has been a very big fan of my Instagram account, and I love when people really connect to the work, because then they're responding to a lot of stuff I do. So Kurt, thank you, because I have heard a lot of your opinions about a lot of things, which are all very supportive and good. So he's a lovely guy. He's not, you know, trolling me or anything. But finally, we were able to come together, because I know that Kurt originally contacted me because he was struggling for quite a while with long-haul COVID. And I had been very vocal on YouTube and on Instagram videos that I believe that long-haul COVID is a form of TMS, and that although the symptoms are real, nothing is in your head, COVID is not a hoax, nothing that you could potentially think I'm saying about that. It is truly just that the symptoms of long-haul COVID are a result of the nervous system being so dysregulated and the mind-body system being in a state of resistance and a state of protecting us from our deep feelings of fear and anger and sadness and all the things that we feel. That long-haul COVID makes complete sense. And in my international community of doctors and clinicians and therapists doing this work, it is in absolute agreement that long-haul COVID is a TMS equivalent, just like fibromyalgia or back pain or chronic fatigue or so many of these things that I see treated over and over and over again to total symptom cessation. So it's so important for us to keep talking about this, because I know so many people are suffering, and I know Kurt knows a ton about this. So Kurt, I know that the story did not begin with you with long-haul COVID. So you can start wherever you want to start and just share with us your story.
All right, great. Thanks, Nicole. First of all, I probably was initially drawn to you, Nicole, because of your association with Dr. John Sarno.
Right.
You immediately just had tons of street cred in my book. It was kind of like meeting somebody who maybe played baseball with Babe Ruth, or, you know, or like a stagehand with the Beatles, you know, anybody who was a colleague of Dr. John Sarno and worked with him in this area. I just had to follow. And so I apologize if I did burn up your account too much.
No, it was great.
I just think you're the best teacher on this subject that I've come across. And congrats, by the way, on 2 million listeners. I think that's incredible.
Thank you.
And I think it's hugely important at this place in time, because I think we're headed, if we're not already there, to a pandemic of TMS.
Yes.
Or PPD, as Dr. David Clark refers to it, or neuroplastic pain, as others refer to it, in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I mean, how could we not? If emotional phenomenon like anger and fear and sadness lead to physical symptoms, and they do, then the events of the last 20 months, I think, are going to be harvested as an overcapacity load of mind-body symptoms.
100%. Yeah, and of course, long-haul COVID is a great example of that.
Right. Yeah, well, I was first introduced to TMS probably in the summer of 2015. Like so many of your other listeners, I was diagnosed with two herniated discs, L4, L5. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
With fragmentation, meaning that the soft tissue in my discs that's analogous to crab meat had actually extruded out my discs and was floating around. My MRI also showed that the herniations were displacing my S1 nerve. And it was all very obvious for me to see. In fact, on my screensaver on my phone, does this reveal my personality a little bit? I actually have as my screensaver the picture of my MRI of my, my herniated discs displacing my S1 nerve. Just as a daily reminder that it is normal to have an abnormal MRI at my age, at age 51.
At any age.
Probably so, yeah.
My incredibly, incredibly disordered MRI, I was 19, and it was never the reason for my pain. So I don't ever even want people to count themselves out because of age.
That's right. And that's why it's my screensaver. It's just that reminder. Well, anyway, my symptoms at the time back then included crazy painful sciatica with weakness in my left leg for a period of about 2 or 3 months leading up to the MRI. Obviously, I had along with it just a lot of back pain that actually forced me to leave my pediatric dental practice for 4 to 6 weeks. I just simply could not work. I went to the foremost back surgeon in our area for whom I have great respect. In fact, I still do. We've been friends actually for decades. And I could name several of his patients, and you'd recognize their names very well. They're famous athletes. So he's obviously a very accomplished surgeon, and he recommended surgery. I sought a second opinion, and it was really the second opinion that was probably the most discouraging or frightening. Along with all the diagnostic information that I got earlier, he told me that I would have permanent nerve damage.
Right.
In the form of drop foot. He told me that I would never be able to raise my body onto the tips of my toes if without surgical intervention. So by now I was both completely frustrated, in excruciating pain, and frankly frightened by the prospect of back surgery.
Right.
And you know, I think it really speaks to the medical paradigm today. I was in their office for 15 or 20 minutes. They looked at some imaging. There was never any approach like, hey, what's going on in your life? How's work? How's your marriage? How are your kids?
It doesn't occur, and I know that we're part of the Western medical model, so I'm certainly not here to trash it, but it doesn't occur to physicians or dentists or anyone in the medical field to consider that what's going on with your work or your family or your kids would have any bearing on your back pain. And I get it. When I step outside of myself and I think about people in those professions and how it's not taught in medical school, I really don't blame them at all.
That's right. And frankly, I'm one of them. But after these experiences, I've totally incorporated this information into how I treat patients, and I'm seeing a huge increase, by the way, of mind-body symptoms in children. And maybe I'll speak a little bit to that later in the program. But you know, why was I so frustrated and frightened and discouraged by this? Because I have several friends, maybe 10, who have all had back surgery, and only one of them has had one back surgery. In fact, my closest friend is scheduled for his ninth back procedure, his ninth. Well, anyway, it was at this time that I was introduced to Dr. John Sarno's books by my brother, of all people. unbeknownst to me, my brother had found relief from some pain using John Sarno's approach. So I read Healing Back Pain. And while reading, I just had one of those crazy intuitive aha moments where I had this sensation, this feeling that Dr. Sarno, this bushy-eyebrowed stranger in faraway New York, was describing me without knowing me.
Yep.
And
not an uncommon reaction.
And I don't know how else to explain it, except multiple times I just started laughing. I just started laughing. How does this doctor at NYU Rusk Rehabilitation, who I've never met, how does he know where I am in my life so
right.
well?
Love it.
And you know, I wanted to ask you, why was it so intuitive for me and not for others? You worked with Dr. Sarno, and I think I remember him saying that the majority of his patients, or the people who at least called, were not capable of accepting the right diagnosis. What's your answer to that?
Like, why does it happen for some and not others?
Yeah, why do people read Dr. Sarno's books and it just feels, they can just accept that this is a possibility for them, and others just simply cannot?
You know, if I were to really answer that from my deepest truth, there would be a spiritual answer to that, which is that there are different levels of spiritual readiness. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean religious. This is not about any particular way you seek a higher truth. It's just about if you're open. You know, a lot of spirituality to me is willingness and openness to just say, what's the mystery? I don't know everything, right? To me, like, if you wanted to say, what does it mean to believe in God, whatever little g, big g, you know, whatever religion, I would say the definition of believing in God is knowing you're not God. Knowing that, like, you know, like knowing that there's something that brings the tides in and out and the sun rising and setting, and there is energy and there is a great deal of mystery out there. And I don't know why one person feels so akin to the information and another throws the book across the room. But I also do know in my, you know, many, many years, 20 plus years of teaching this, that the people who throw their book across the room, oftentimes it takes maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years, they do walk across the room and pick it up. And true readiness is everything. So I guess you are ready.
Yeah, and it sometimes takes desperation to humble yourself to that point, right? I mean, for so many people, they've exhausted all options.
And oh yeah, so I used to say when I had a private practice, I used to say that people would crawl through my door after they had done everything else.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, my answer to that is probably just self-awareness. You know, I've over the years shared, I've probably handed out 24 books, Healing Back Pain. And it's always interesting to me, people are becoming more and more open to this type of thing. And of the 24 books I've handed out, easily, those who were really willing to look into it, they've gotten better.
Yeah.
And it's just become a fun thing for me. But my answer to that is just self-awareness. People who know themselves, and so many people just aren't even aware of they're in their own trance. They don't even know what they're habitually thinking and doing day in and day out, that they're just not in a place to respond to what Dr. Sarno was teaching. But anyway, it was also at this time that the documentary All the Rage was being released.
Yeah, Michael Polinsky.
And I watched it. And then I watched it again, and then I watched it again, and
did you know? Did you notice me in the credits, Kurt?
You know, I didn't until recently, and then the show just got that much better.
I was like, Michael, dude, come on! You couldn't put me anywhere but in the credits, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, the editing process, but it's all good. It's all good, and, Michael.
And I do hear that you got edited quite a bit, which is very unfortunate, but
it's all good.
But I don't know if it was then or where I learned it, but I just call it the ABCs of TMS. And I use this all the time with patients and friends that I talk to about this, where just as, you know, as your typical grades in school, you get an A, B, or C. The C is if you can conceptualize that this is a possibility. And that's a good start, but it's average at best. A B grade is good, and that is if you believe and you start to heal. But the A, the excellent grade, is when you can accept, radically accept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this, that.
And you'll heal. And it's simply brain science. It will always work. And I had the craziest, it was about this time, we're still back in 2015, 2016. I was having all these symptoms, and it was such a perfect barometer of where I was professionally and just in life. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I went to a concert. It was an old, I grew up in the 80s and in California, so I just love 80s music. And it was this band called The Alarm. And I know that probably no one's ever heard of the band The Alarm, but it was a real small concert. And I was just so excited to be there. And I was in the front row, and they were, you know, the lead singer was giving me high fives. And I just got so wrapped up in the moment of the concert and the music and being with my brother and some friends that it was after the concert walking out, I thought to myself, I did not feel my symptoms that I have felt for a year for 60 minutes.
Yep, there you go. That goes into the belief.
That goes into the evidence. And then belief actually becomes more easily to accept. And yes. And I remember watching a YouTube video with Dr. Sarno teaching a lecture. And who knows, Nicole, you were probably just off camera to the side sitting in that lecture. And his voice became very stern at one point. He said, to get better, his patients would have to leave, quote, leave the physical and put both feet in the emotional realm. And I remember he literally hopped onto two feet. It's funny that I remember that. You know, just to demonstrate, instead of one foot in the physical realm, and we do that through surgeries, through manipulations, through stretching. I remember I had bought an inversion table, and we most certainly do it through drugs and medicine, but to put both feet in the emotional realm. And I got better. And not only did I get better, I did so without surgery. And I got 100% better, and it's now been 5 years, and I have not had any significant symptoms. You know, you're always going to have a twinge here and there, but I'm cured, and I'm doing things that doctors told me I'd never be able to do without surgery, and I just became a huge believer in mind-body medicine, and exactly what you do full-time.
Wow. So the beginning of your journey is a very beautiful, and I won't say typical, because I mean, there's no way to typify anything specifically, but a story I've heard many, many, many times, which is a person who is willing, who's self-aware, who's open, who has the information available to them, who takes the advice, who understands, and in that understanding regulates his nervous system, allows the pain to go, and you're no longer having that pain response and all the things the doctor told you, which are really irresponsible. I really have to say, I hate when people say, well, yeah, you don't do this and you're going to have this. You know, you don't get the surgery, you're going to have drop foot. I mean, my God, what could be more upsetting than something like that? And, you know, my doctors basically said, if I don't have the surgery, I wouldn't be walking upright when I was 40. And, you know, I'm 49, so I'll be 50 this year. And when I was 40, just ironically, I spent all night at a live concert in Atlantic City dancing my ass off, not in a wheelchair. So, and, you know, of course, I had never had surgery or any injections, nothing. And so, anyway, the beginning of this journey for you was this beautiful Sarno-esque, hopeful, transformative experience. And if indeed, you are a listener of this podcast and you're having back pain, I don't want to dismiss this as like, okay, next, Kurt, move on. But like, it is a little bit next, Kurt, move on, because this is what happens. And I want everyone to always be inspired that this is how it works. When you accept the diagnosis, when you understand, when you do the work to look into the emotions instead of being in the physical, your pain will go away and stay away. But what's fascinating to me is when something comes up in life that gets us. Right. And I know this long haul COVID is something that's getting a lot of people. So Kurt, why don't you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, I will. Just before doing that, I do want to mention, I think it would be helpful for your listeners to understand that after my back pain healed, I did deal with symptom imperative.
Typical.
It came back in the form of prostatitis, which was treated, by the way. I fell back into the same trap, you know, thinking it was physical, went to doctors, got on Cipro, which is an antibiotic, for a month, developed some reactions to the Cipro.
Yeah, of course.
And then all to find out at the end that it didn't have anything to do with the prostate. I dealt with plantar fasciitis and a migraine headache. And all of those things, because of my success with my back, were cured 100% within a short amount of time. And I thought that I was done with TMS. Wrong.
Well, also people do think that, but I also want to bring compassion to thinking that, because that's just your nervous system. You're thinking you're done with TMS is just a symptom imperative.
That's
It's just your nervous system saying, oh, can we just be safe now forever and not worry about this anymore? And everybody wants that. So
that's so true.
Very typical.
That is so true. Well, anyway, I got COVID in November of 2020. Initially, well, first of all, I knew I was going to get it. I'm a pediatric dentist and I treat kids, and kids are asymptomatic. And I see 40 to 50 kids a day. And I knew eventually one of them would bring the virus into the office. And we didn't have the vaccine at the time. We used universal precaution in every way, with masks, shields, did all the protocol. But I eventually got it in November of 2020. My symptoms were the typical: a lot of chest pain, huge congestion, very difficult to breathe through my nose, shortness of breath, loss of taste and smell, but just this profound congestion in my nose. And there was just a lot going on in my life, like there was for everybody. I mean, we had a lot going on in 2020. We had shutdowns of businesses, we had quarantines, we had, you know, social unrest. We had plenty. It was fertile ground for TMS in so many ways. And I just plugged away at work, continued to work, and thought I would get better. But also in the back of my mind, I think some seeds were being planted, because we were hearing so much about these quote unquote long haulers. And I couldn't help but wonder, you know, am I going to be one of those? We now know that there are 215 plus long haul COVID symptoms.
Wow.
I can just hear John Sarno saying, there is no way that this one abnormality in your back is responsible for all of the pain.
Yep.
That you are describing. And
let's actually, can we sit with that for a moment? Because I think that's very important for people when they're trying to cultivate their belief and their conception of the situation, sort of C and B of your ABC process. It's very helpful for them to understand what Dr. Sarno did say. So when I walked into his office, now I have severe degenerative spondylolisthesis, according to my MRI, which just means that my MRI is incredibly abnormal. I have two vertebrae that sit kind of atop one another. I have a whole vertebrae that's shattered and replaced with scar tissue. I have stress fractures above and below. I have whatever this, the shape of my spine is that can constitute spondylolisthesis. And so I have a situation where orthopedic surgeons see my films and they literally go pale. I mean, I have seen doctors get scared of me by looking at my films. And so when you look at something like that, of course, you believe wholeheartedly, well, of course, that's the reason for my back pain. And so when I went in to see Dr. Sarno and I presented him with my films and with the novel I had written about all the things I do to bend and to, you know, when I do this and when I do that, and here's when it shoots down my leg, and here's when it shoots up my shoulder, and here's when it's across my back, and here's when it's on the left side, and here's what's on the right side. Dr. Sarno took one look at my stuff and he looked at my films. He threw my novel in the garbage, which was a seminal moment in my recovery. He literally took it and he threw it into like this like old metal waste paper basket and it went like boom. And I looked at him and he goes there. And that's the first thing he said. He looked deeply into my eyes. And all for you guys to know, he does have bushy eyebrows. He did have bushy eyebrows and he was about 5'3", 5'4" on his best day with his long lab coat. He wore the one down to his ankles. And he looked at me and he said, "There is no way that all of these symptoms can come from this one abnormality." Wow. And it just, it really was the beginning of the end of my chronic pain, because I looked at him and I got it, that this is an incidental finding, that I have an abnormal back. So what? There are a couple of ways that my spondylolisthesis shows up in my life, meaning I have very little flexibility. Like I can't touch my toes. And I've looked it up. Spondy has a lot to do with tight hamstrings. Now, I have done tons of yoga and stretching over the years. I can get a little bit more mobility. But the truth is, that's one way that I am physically altered as a result of having this. Other than that, kind of zero. I mean, I lift heavy things, I run, I bike. So anyway, the only reason I'm jumping into this is because when you said that, it made me realize how important it is for people to understand that when we are talking about long haul COVID and the 200 odd symptoms that are now being associated with the words long haul COVID, we need to understand that in the same sense that Dr. Sarno looked deeply into my eyes and changed my life, and by the way, your life, meaning anyone listening, because if my life wasn't changed, I wouldn't be talking to you, was very helpful for me to understand that what seemed logical was not logical. And until what seems logical is called out for what it is, we accept things oddly as human beings without questioning them, especially when they're coming from doctors.
That's so right.
Okay, so I just had to say that. Now you go.
No, that's great. And what I look back on now and I just laugh is, even with all the success that I've had with treating TMS with these mind body techniques, I mean, I've gotten rid of sciatica, back pain, migraines. I have maybe 2 migraines a year. I had migraines.
Which is normal, just because sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies. Like, it's okay.
But I was taking Imitrex for migraines for years. And now it's not even a thing in my life. Plantar fasciitis. I had all this success, had a few years of just really good, healthy living. And then I got sick. And even with all that success, I couldn't make the correlation. I couldn't conceive the C, let alone believe or accept, that maybe some of my lingering COVID symptoms were being driven by an emotional phenomenon.
Okay.
And it really was, I'm not kidding, your interview with a young woman from the Netherlands, where I just laid there in bed with my listening on my headphones with my mouth wide open, just saying to myself, do you really think this could be TMS? What's going on in your life right now? And so I really have to thank you, because you really introduced me to journal speak. I don't know how I missed that in 2015. Somehow, through all my study with John Sarno,
he doesn't talk about it.
Well, he does a little.
Yeah, he doesn't get deep into it. But he and I used to talk about that, and he used to say to me, "Truly, Nicole, you explain it better than me. So this is my theory. I tell people how to do it. He used to tell me that all the time because we worked together at NYU at the time.
Yeah. Well, I remember sitting down or laying down because I was 3 months into this and I was still feeling I was working. I was putting on a smiling face. I was going and being nice to kids and parents and people at the grocery store and at church, putting on the good face. But I was still dealing with the rapid heart rate, chest pain, shortness of breath. I'm not kidding. After 2 weeks of listening to Lee Kay, and beginning journal speak, my chest pain, shortness of breath, and rapid heart rate disappeared.
Amazing. And also, of course.
I don't want to discourage your listeners because they're like, oh man, here's another person telling me that they did this and they got better in 2 weeks. I have to think that probably it was kind of the groundwork that had been laid years earlier.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
That those symptoms just went away. But I had three symptoms linger. And that was just the congestion. And an MRI shows that the turbinates in my nose are very swollen. Once again, we have an imaging of a physical reality, and then my taste and my smell just continued to be an issue. But I continued with my journal speak. I was probably somewhere between a B and a C. I was starting to believe, but I could just, you know, could definitely conceptualize that maybe this was TMS. And I think it was you, Nicole, that where you like to separate this into three categories, either childhood, life circumstances, and personality.
Yeah, that's actually originally from Dr. Sarno's work. That's his foundation stuff. Yeah, three lists. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I really went to work on that with my journal speak. And, you know, like so many of your previous listeners, you know, I look back and I feel like I had a pretty good childhood. You know, thank goodness I don't have any recollections of abuse or neglect. My parents were married 62 years. Probably not always peacefully, but for the most part, peacefully. I mean, if you're going to be married 62 years, you're going to have moments, right?
The whole time.
Just as a side note, it was the passing, kind of the tragic passing of my father way back in 2000, just before I started having all these symptoms that I was grieving. But anyway, that's just a side note. Looking back now, that clearly had an impact on the beginning of a lot of my symptoms, but I did have to move while I was in middle school twice. And for any kid who has to do that, it sucks. And I realized when doing this journal speak that it was at that time, just after our move to California, that I developed a leg pain that had to be treated by a chiropractor. And I was diagnosed with a whatever degree, 13 degree curvature of the spine, was told my sacrum was tilted and pinching a nerve, that I had leg length discrepancy, all that stuff. And it was also at the time that I had my first migraine with aura, mm-hmm. with the loss mm-hmm. of vision. So I went through that with my journal speak. You know, I've always been held to a high conduct of standard of conduct. I grew up in a religious home. There were some expectations there. I was a 4.0 student. My dad was an excellent athlete. He'd actually been drafted into the NBA, and I had dreams of playing high school and college basketball, which eventually happened for me. But kind of a perfectionist there. And then I started in on life circumstances. At the time, I think I still was grieving the passing of my father. The shutdowns from COVID had created kind of some financial challenges for me in my practice. I actually owned multiple practices. I still am one of the busiest practitioners in our state. I'm raising four kids. I volunteer in the community and at church, and I'm and try to do what I can there. And then I split it, you know, then I go to my personality, and I'm a textbook. I laugh. I'm a textbook TMS candidate. I'm a perfectionist, do-gooder, overly conscientious, really responsible. But I'd also add something. You know, I don't see these two personality traits listed very often. I'm extremely impatient. And I'm a fixer.
Yeah. Fixer feels more akin to the others than extremely impatient. But I think that we all have these very similar symptoms.
Yeah.
Or personalities, not symptoms, personality traits.
Well, anyway, all these things help me begin to really begin to accept that my long haul COVID symptoms were TMS related. And I am happy to report that I'm probably in the final stages of retrieving my taste and my smell. Congestion is way down. It comes at a time where we're actually now starting to see some protocols, some cocktails of medicine, some research coming out of different groups where a cocktail of medicines can help people with their post-viral symptoms. It's been a very, very interesting, painful, but also an extremely rewarding experience. I think it just goes to show. I mean, I hear you mention it. You're in this too. You deal with stuff.
Of course, yeah.
John Sarno dealt with stuff. I remember him saying, "This is just the human condition." Some people may be listening and saying, "Well, why is this dentist who supposedly treats his patients?" And I'll get into that in just a little bit. Who are dealing with TMS, and he has TMS. You know, he's as messed up as they are. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're all a mess, and it's the human condition. And actually, I'd rather be treated by somebody who's gone through the mess. Because the mess can become your message, than someone who hasn't been through it. And by accepting this diagnosis, I'm close to 100%.
So I want to, first of all, amazing, of course. And second of all, I want to say a couple of things. I want to say something about inflammation, because inflammation is a big buzzword. It has a lot to do with autoimmune disease. It has a lot to do with different stomach stuff, gut stuff. And you said, you know, well, I'd had a CT scan and my sinuses were incredibly inflamed, swollen. And so I want to say something about inflammation. Similar to your back pain not being in your head or your migraines not being something that you're making up, inflammation in the body is real. In fact, it feels even realer than things like migraines and fibromyalgia, because like you can actually see evidence of it on a test. But here's the thing that I want to say, because I am so privileged to have had over 20 years of conversations with people, both in my private practice and then in ways like this, to know that I have seen people with actual inflammation. I had one client who had a swollen ankle. Her ankle was like a baseball, and it went on for a year. She had pain. She had every test done. It was just inflammation. She did her journal speak. Now, this is not like overnight. I don't remember exactly how long it took, but as she was doing her journal speak practice and following all my teachings, she literally watched it go down and down and down and down. And then it was normal and it never came back. And so what I want to say to people is, even if you get a tester, one test or another, and you're told, you know, you have inflammation, or you have, you know, inflammation in your joints, or inflammation in your gut, or, you know, it's due to this food, or it's due to this activity, or it's due to this, you know, medication, just always be curious. Always replace your fear and your certainty with curiosity, because what happens is that when you are willing and you are self-aware and open-minded, it is incredible, the efficacy of this mind-body work.
Yes.
You know, excuse me, I'd also say for those of your listeners who are getting towards the end, but they probably got a little bit of stuff lingering, if I could just give maybe a little bit of advice, I think it's at that point where you literally just mentally give up.
Yes, sir. That's my thing.
Just radically accept. It doesn't mean that you like it. It just means that you no longer care. And then you let, you know, neuroplasticity, which, as we know, is the most hopeful science, I think, that has come along in the last 30 years, work in your favor rather than against you. And when you get to the point when you eventually just don't care, magic happens.
Well, absolutely, because the nervous system has no information except for your conscious understanding of your environment, and not caring and giving up and opening your hands to the sky and your face to the sun and the wind and saying, however this goes, it's okay for me, is the exact message of peace and equanimity that the nervous system needs to stop firing the pain signals or the discomfort.
I really actually felt in the last 2 months that my brain learned that as long as these things were no longer important to me, that I was going to taste what I could taste and that I couldn't taste what I couldn't taste. Not what I could smell, I could smell, and what I couldn't smell. I just stopped caring, that the brain actually learns to let go.
Yes, 100%.
And use it or lose it. And I think that's been probably one of the most exciting things, because it just corroborates this whole notion of neuroplasticity, which has become such a focus of my attention. You know, where we pay attention, what we pay attention to, wires together.
Yes.
And, you know, I was hiking the other day, and I'm all about analogies and symbology sometimes, but I was hiking the other day up in the mountains, and I realized I was walking on a path or a trail, and it just occurred to me how it's a perfect symbol of neuroplasticity. That what we tread over and over and over again just becomes our default path. And as we become more courageous, more willing, more accepting of the idea of deviating from our current path and treading a new one, that eventually the grass and the bushes will start to lay down and form a new path. It was just such a clear example of neuroplasticity to me that...
Oh, yeah. It makes sense to me for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I've just, as a practicing pediatric dental provider, I've just noticed in the last 20 months an incredible insurgence of undiagnosable pain and symptoms in kids. I think we've talked about it a lot, but I think we're still underestimating the impact of the pandemic and everything that we've been through the last 20 years in the lives of kids. Kids stay relatively quiet, but they're listening to the news that you're listening to or not listening to. I've chosen actually to filter.
Yeah, same. I've taken a step down with any sort of current events lately.
Yeah. I turned off the news in June of 2020, but I've just seen an increase of migraine. And when I say increase, I'm talking about a 300%. I'm seeing at least three times as many kids dealing with migraines, with a predilection towards girls, unfortunately. I think it's 5-1. And, you know, parents are revealing that they've been to 3 specialists, often in multiple states. They report being $10,000 to $20,000 into finding a solution to their migraine problem for their child. And it's when I shut the door and I sit down, and it's really weird coming from a dentist. They don't expect this. But I look at the child, the teenager most often,
And I say, what's going on? What's going on in your life? Tell me. I know I'm your dentist, but what's going on in your life? And the craziest thing happens. The waterworks turn on.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that.
And I don't get paid for it, Nicole, but I get such satisfaction from it. But I look at mom and dad at times like this, and their jaws just drop. They're totally unaware of how their children are hurting. And then I begin to explain to patient and parents that there's nothing wrong. And I would add to the list of migraine, you know, I'm seeing atypical facial pains in forehead, ears, tinnitus. I see this strange symptom often, this incessant muscle twitch right below the eyes.
Yeah, I've had that one.
Have you?
Uh-huh.
In kids?
It's no big. I mean, it would be a big if I thought it was a big, but it's no big.
Well, when you're 13, it freaks you out.
It could freak you out when you're 30, when you're 13, yeah.
Right, right. And then just generalized tooth pain, which is coming from kids clenching their teeth in tension, and they're not aware that they're doing it. I think it just never ceases to amaze me how the parents are becoming more and more willing to accept emotions as the cause of physical symptoms. You know, I re-listened to your podcast with Dr. Clark, David Clark, and he seemed to have had a better experience than Dr. Sarno. I think he reported that, you know, his colleagues respond and refer to him much more commonly than was the case for Dr. Sarno. In fact, I think it was the source of a lot of pain, sadness for Dr. Sarno that he was treated the way he was. But I think Nicole, because of work that you're doing and so many others, I'm finding that easily 80% of the people who I propose this to, they're pretty open to it, so I have kids. I have these kids journal speak. I give you full credit. I ask these kids to follow you. I have them journal speak on a daily basis. I'm having a lot of success with a protocol after 6 p.m. I'm telling kids to turn off their phone, video games, TV, and I tell them to find their thing, your thing. And I always have them report back to us what their thing is. And knowing that I was going to go on today, I had some of my assistants write down our most popular responses. And your thing is what soothes your nervous system. And what's great is I think young people, teenagers, their neuroplasticity, their changes, their new paths, their new trails can be forged way quicker than it can for us adults.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
And these are some of the answers that have come back. Playing with pets. That's probably number one. Hot baths. Art is a top three answer. Kids say that, and I think we have studies now showing how painting and anything creative soothes their nervous system. Reading, talking to people in person rather than over the phone, and sports, just a good aerobic workout. I have them do a form of muscle massage, the masseter muscle, which is your primary chewing muscle that runs along your cheek. And I don't do this as a form of manipulation. I do it as a form of a nervous system diffuser. It soothes the kids to have that, you know, a trusted person, a parent, preferably, stand behind them and actually massage the masseter muscle, and they get better. Nicole, over the last 2 years, I'm seeing 9 out of 10 kids respond
amazing,
very, very, very positively to this to this sort of thing. And I have the advantage of working with kids because I think you see the results happen quicker. Because I also think that kids can go from conceptualization to acceptance
quicker. Yeah.
Quicker than adults can.
Well, I watch this in my own kids. You know, I mean, my own kids are such a fantastic experiment for me because they've never been raised being told that their physical symptoms were absolutely immediately requiring a physical solution. Now, I'm not saying that I don't seek a physical solution when it's appropriate. You know, I often say I'm not a witch brewing a brews in my kitchen. You know, when my kids have strep throat, they take antibiotics. You know, I'm certainly not a person that denies medical intervention, absolutely. And when my kids have had TMS, the first thing we always do is get it checked out.
Absolutely.
You know, one of my favorite stories with my son, which I recently told on another podcast I was interviewed on, was the, I don't know if you ever read this blog, Kurt, but when my son was little, he had stomach problems that were so severe, we were in the ER more than once with him laying on the ground, screaming in pain. And what am I going to do? Be like, let's talk about your feelings? Like, you know, like, let's go to the freaking ER. And after several times, and a couple tells, you know, there are certain TMS tells. And one of them was, he was once in screaming pain. He was with his dad. And David called me and said, meet me at the doctor. You know, this is really bad. And when Oliver saw me, and this is, he was probably 6 years old, he went from being doubled over and he ran over and gave me a hug. And we started talking about something briefly that like he wanted to tell me, and I'm looking at him, I go, where's the freaking stomach ache here? Like what just happened? So anyway, there were a couple tells that were very, very revealing. But what ultimately did it is when he was 7 or 8 years old, he had a specific attack, and I took him. Do you know the story when I took him into a pharmacy at night?
Oh, I think I do remember.
Yeah.
Not the details.
Anyway, I don't have to go deeply into it because I know we're getting long in the interview. But the point is I brought him into a Walgreens or a CVS or something, and I just continued to surprise him. I pulled things off the shelf and I said, I'm buying this for you. And he said, what? You know, it's so expensive. And I took out licorice and I made him eat it before dinner. And, you know, he was shocked because why is my mommy behaving this way? I looked at him finally at the end of maybe 3 or 4 things that we had been doing. And I said, how's your stomach? And he kind of looked around and he looked down at his stomach and he said, it's fine. And I said, honey, we need to start talking about the fact that we can feel things in our bodies and that you don't need to be sick. Nothing's wrong with you. And that changed his entire life. And what's so awesome to me is that he's 17 now. He drives. He's a junior in high school. And he came home 2 nights ago and I'm standing in the kitchen and he goes, guess what? Because he has a girlfriend and her name is Kinsey. And he said, Kinsey had her first anxiety stomach ache today and I knew exactly how to help her. And like, it's just amazing, you know, to have these children that are being raised in this philosophy. And I'm sure your children and your patients are getting a dose of it from you. It's just such a gift for lifelong health.
It is. And I've seen it in my own kids. And I also want to go back and clarify, you know, these migraine patients that have come in to see me, they've already had a battery of tests. They've had a number, they've ruled out all the serious stuff. And it's also fun because I'm having similar experiences with my kids and some of their symptoms. You know, I think one of the most powerful things that you teach is the belief, accept, and the patience and self-compassion.
Yes.
I just think that I apologize also if you're hearing some beeping in the background. Our neighbors are doing some construction.
So it's okay. Anything goes on this podcast.
Okay, good. But I've learned to love the acronym RAIN, and I know we're running a little bit long, but are you familiar with the
acronym? Of course, yes. Tara Brach. I love RAIN.
Yeah, Tara Brach's been a great teacher for me over the years, but, you know, just our stands for recognize, the awareness. You know, so many people are in their trance. They're not even aware of their thoughts and their feelings, let alone being able to correlate them with any kind of physical symptoms. And so much of what we're believing and thinking is just real but not true. And then A, of course, that stands for accept, don't resist. Obviously, what we resist persists. I stands for investigate. You know, what am I believing? And I go over this with my young patients. What am I not willing to feel? And that's where journals speak.
I know. I love that line. What am I not willing to feel? I love when she says that.
This is where journals speak, I think, is just genius. And where I think I told you early on where I was just shocked at what was coming out on paper. And what we don't feel with our hearts, we eventually feel with our bodies.
Yes, sir.
And once you can make that correlation, I think magic happens. And then N stands for nurture. And that's where your patience and self-compassion comes in. And I think we most of the time just come to the conclusion that our inner critic, the voice in our head, is what's driving so much of this. And fear being the predominant one. And anger and rage being closely associated. And then just this mantra in closing, you know, I was reading a book and came across it. It had nothing to do with mind-body symptoms, but it says, I won't be cured by trying harder, but I'll be made whole by being softer.
Oh yeah. I like that.
For somebody like me, who's just got to fix stuff and I got to fix it yesterday, right? The more I can get away from that and just be absolutely equanimous with whatever is right here, right now, and not caring, I can forge a new path, a new trail, and finally allow neuroplasticity to work in my favor instead of against me.
Well, that is awesome. And I want to say something that I think needs to be noted, Kurt. So when I first started hearing from you, it was many months ago. You were, I wouldn't necessarily qualify you as being in despair, but you were definitely reaching out to me because you wanted my help. I mean, that's what most people do, right? When they first hear about me, they reach out to me and they're like, this is what's going on with me, right?
I wanted you to tell me that my symptoms were TMS because no one was even talking about long haul COVID being even remotely possibly TMS. And I just wanted to hear it from you.
And I'm so thrilled that I was one of the first voices out there. And I will stand on a mountaintop one day when all of this stuff is finally being acknowledged for what it is, as being a, you know, whatever you want to call it, neuroplastic, mind body, PPD, TMS, I don't care what you want to label it. I said it first. So anyway, everyone, just saying. But all joking aside, when you first came to me, you wrote me an email and it was a real-time heal.
Yes.
And up until today, I assumed it might be. And quite frankly, this isn't. And what's fantastic about this process, and that is why I want everybody out there to just keep showing up to the page for your journal speak, keep showing up for yourself, that if I had the time and, you know, the schedule to respond to Kurt the first day he wrote me that email, I'm not saying I wouldn't have been helpful, but to be honest, this is about your hard work, Kurt. Yes, it's about my work and it's about that you had a guide, but like, you did this in the past several months since I first heard from you. You're a different person. Your message is different. Your success in your own body and your ability to carry the message to others is different. And that's the way this works. So, you know, I do receive hundreds and hundreds of inquiries, whether they be on DM or Instagram or email or whatever. And I just want, and since I obviously don't have any capacity to write all these people back, I just want you guys to know this is how it works. The solution is already available to you. It's out there. And all, meaning I have so many resources. You can take courses, you can do it for free, you know, but this is how it works. That the way it worked with Kurt, which is that he did the work and everything is resolving. And he's just in that last 10%, which we're all there, where it's just a day-to-day self-compassion paired with giving up a little bit that is going to get you really to more and more freedom as you go.
Yeah. I think so many of your listeners are sitting at home going, is what I have TMS? And, you know, I'm not on social media a lot. I have one account and I have no followers and I just follow people of interest. And obviously you're one of them, but I, I actually DM'd Danny Fagan, and I got the funniest response back from her. I said, do you really think that the fact that I still can't taste and smell after 8 months is emotional? And she wrote back the funniest thing. She said, Kurt, I've decided almost everything chronic is TMS, and that has never steered me wrong yet. As long as you don't let whatever it is that's, and I'm leaving out a bunch of profanities.
Of course, well, Danny Fagan, you're always going to get a bunch of profanities.
As long
love
as
you,
you
Danny.
Love you, Danny. Thank you. So long as you don't let it derail you, it will get better. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And then, of course, I don't know if you're aware, Alan Gordon just wrote a book called The Way Out.
Yes, yes. He and I have been in correspondence.
Yeah, just five things for those wondering if what they're dealing with is TMS. Have medical treatments been ineffective or just given you temporary relief? In every case, whether it was my back, all the way through long-haul COVID, I answer yes. Did the pain come on during a stressful time in your life? Absolutely. Do you have one or have you had symptoms in multiple parts of your body? Is your pain inconsistent in terms of when and where it appears and how severe it is? Yeah, I went to that concert. My symptoms went way down.
Right.
I've been surfing a few times. And after surfing, I've noticed that, man, I just surfed for 90 minutes and my symptoms were near zero.
Right.
And lastly, do you think about the pain often or all the time? And if you're a fixer, you think about your symptoms all the time. And that's where I think so many people get tripped up.
Well, I think that is awesome, awesome advice. And I love all of the reflections about your journey. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
No, it was absolute privilege for me to finally meet you, Nicole. You're the best in the world at doing this. And I'm not saying that because I'm on your podcast. I know you probably work yourself into exhaustion because you know how important this is. I think we have, like I said earlier, a pandemic of mind-body disorders. And it's only going to probably worsen because I just don't think our brains are capable of keeping up with the amount of stimuli that's coming at us incessantly from all angles.
Well, I will agree with that. And I will say, I don't think it is going to get worse. I think it's going to get more unmasked.
There
so,
you,
you know, it's not that I think the problem is going to get like more severe. I think it's going to be more awareness. And so it will look as if it's getting worse. But what's also wonderful is hand in hand with awareness will be the solution, which is what I offer and what Alan Gordon offers and Dr. Strax and Dave Clark and Dr. Schubner and movies like All the Rage and, oh, the Schubner movie. What's the movie? I'm sorry, it's slipping my mind. Do you know the other one?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, is it Tell Me About? No. Anyway, I will, if you guys look up Dr. Schubner and documentary, it will come up. But there's resources out there. Things are being studied and studies are being published, which will hopefully loop in the medical community a little bit more because, you know, hard facts, are something that the medical community needs, which I do not shame. We all need what we need. And so all of it is happening. It's the consciousness of the planet is rising. And I think that's why more and more people are open and willing to this work. So thank you so much for coming on and shining a light on your own journey, on your long haul COVID, and certainly, especially on how to carry the message to other people, young people, and people who need this. So thank you, Kurt.
No, thank you, Nicole. Be well.
All right. Well, you guys, I hope you got a lot out of this wonderful interview. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast and it helps it get more visibility. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.